You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and yeah, like the dude just said, covering it all, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, it is that day. It is day of days. It is the day you wait for all week long. It is Friday. Friday! There it is. All right, congratulations. You made it to the end of another week, and we're proud to walk through the afternoon towards go-home time with you right now on Right Side Radio, and that would be Boomer pushing the buttons on the board. Hey, man.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
It feels like fall a little bit.
It does. Like I'm enjoying it.
Mild fall.
A mild fall. I like it, so I'll take it.
And you said your grandmother said it felt like Oregon.
She did.
Because it's all misty.
And a little rainy. She's like, man, this feels like Oregon. It feels like home.
In the rainforests of Oregon.
That's right.
All right. Hey, we got a great show laid on for you. 3 o'clock today, Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen's going to be on with us. Had some things happening not only in his office, but to related election offices around the nation. And I want to get his perspective on A, security, and B, what we're doing to make sure that everybody knows exactly where they live in terms of what district they're voting in. So, yeah, we got a conversation with Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen today at 3 o'clock. Y'all stay tuned for that one. And then there's a great Triple Dipper, so hit it.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, going to cook up a batch of home fries because, man, there is some stuff happening around this state. There are things and places and people that you got to know are not just out there in D.C., not just across the pond somewhere. We're talking about right here in your backyard. So, yeah, we're going to spend some time reflecting on a local stuff. What's going on with a batch of home fries? Y'all stay tuned for that. Number two, all right. Listen, every once in a while, we got to take a look at the fact that there is a thing defined as the, you know, a government run by the least competent of its citizens, which we refer to as a cacistocracy. And so I got an entire dipper here that I'm just labeling cacistocracy. That's where we are. It's just knuckleheads that are in office that are doing stuff. And you look at it and go, how do you get by? How do you even tie your shoes? And you're in charge of what? So, yeah, cacistocracy. That's number two on the Triple Dipper. And then number three, today, indeed, is Veterans Day, or actually the Veterans Day weekend begins this evening. So I want to spend a few minutes reflecting. And I think it's pretty important to take note of Alabama's role in the overall process of what we now call Veterans Day, to include, by the way, the first and still biggest Veterans Day parade in the nation. We'll talk about all of that. And then have a actual sound clip of Ronald Reagan congratulating an Alabama citizen on his efforts to put all that in place. So, yep, number three, in honor of our veterans, Veterans Day is the name of the dipper. Y'all stay tuned for that one. All right, hey, listen, let me jump over here to my comments, my opening monologue. We call it the Right Side Way. And just so as you know, Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics all across the North Alabama area, blanketing a huge swath of our listening area. Southern Immediate Care, open 7 days a week, y'all, every location. They can take care of you no matter what time. And listen, they can see all ages. And they are an amazing group of folks. This is who I use personally. And Southern Immediate Care, they are there for you, and they are the sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue. All right, listen, let me ask you a question. A serious question. What if you had an employee who was told up front that there are certain standards that had to be met at work, but they just didn't feel like doing it? I mean, seriously, how well would that go over? Let's take the question even further. What if you had an employee who was told that professional attire was required, but they showed up in tattered jeans, a t-shirt, and flip-flops, and they were rude to your customers, and they never accomplished their task, and they even failed to be on time? What would you do? Well, I'd hope you'd show them the door. I mean, termination for cause, without delay. I mean, why would you not? When that kind of thing happens in the workplace, it diminishes the value of the business's good name. It also works against the morale of the other employees who see someone that's not being held to the same standards they are. Standards, conditions, expectations, they matter. And if standards are ignored, well, the whole organization could suffer. But let me take it a step further. There's two sides here. The employer, the boss, must also follow through. I mean, there's an old adage, you can't expect what you don't inspect. So an absentee boss or a boss that won't give constructive feedback, well, that's not really a boss. The boss has to ensure that the standards that were clearly outlined in the beginning are actually being upheld. Y'all, life has standards at every turn. Actual standards that matter. Because if they don't matter, then we have no institutions of, well, anything. I mean, college graduation, it comes after good work. Payday comes after good work. Trophies are supposed to be awarded after good work. Standards, they matter. So why then is it okay for the Christian church to keep taking it on the chin without saying anything about the changes we see in culture? You didn't see that question coming, did you? I mean, think about it. The tenets of the Christian faith, whether you're a Catholic or a Protestant, whether you're a Methodist, a Baptist, a Presbyterian, or call yourself a full gospel Methobaptarian, I don't care. The tenets and beliefs of the Christian faith are largely unified around the Bible as the underlying document, the root basis for the faith. And it lays out things pretty clearly. And yet, at every turn, Christians are shouted down these days as being intolerant, but we're not. We're told that we have to modify the Bible to fit today's standards, but we shouldn't. I mean, we're told the standards espoused in the Bible are outdated, no longer apply, but they do. But too often, though, in the face of this challenge to the very fabric of Christianity, the church remains silent. Now, I'm not talking about politics here. I don't care if a Christian church stays out of endorsements of candidates, that's fine. But they can certainly ask candidates questions about where they stand on the issues, and they should. On matters of public policy, it's not likely the church is going to address things like taxes or fiscal policy or international relations. But on matters that directly contravene the teachings of Jesus, why would the church not address them? I mean, a shepherd carries a stick to keep predators away from the sheep, right? So I suggest the shepherd of the church flock, the pastor, the priest, the reverend, should in some kind of like manner recognize that sometimes it's necessary for there to be a defense of the flock that makes up the congregation. That defense that I'm talking about, though, is this simply the voice of the church? The voice that says, we will not condemn, but yet we will not condone, because there are standards. So in recent days, left-wing pundits have claimed that, you know, Christian extremists are responsible for school shootings, or that Christians should applaud drag queen story time for children, or that abortion should never be questioned, that if your job mandates that you use chosen pronouns of someone's illogical attempt to claim to be of another gender or no gender, that you must do so or be fired. Or, for that matter, very much in the news, that we are not allowed somehow to address the very sad and somewhat appalling story of a pastor of a Baptist church in Phoenix City, Alabama, who took his own life when it was discovered that he was a transgender snuff porn author in his spare time. A story that is somehow being twisted into the notion that it's Christian conservatives who were wrong for pointing something out as being contrary to the norms of society, and certainly of the Bible that that man professed to believe in. Look, in the past few years, we've seen cultural issues that could well have been addressed by faith leaders, but they were just left solely for the secular world to deal with. When BLM rioters burned the whole city blocks in the 2020 Summer of Love, I don't recall hearing the clergy of America calling for calm and saying enough's enough. When critical race theory is foisted upon students and teaches our children they were born either as an oppressor or an oppressed by virtue of their skin color, well, I have not heard an outcry from the church to call that theory down specifically and remind its proponents that we are all made in the image of God and that oppression comes from man, not from the Creator. When the image of the rainbow has been known for thousands of years as a symbol of God's promise is then co-opted to become the symbol of LGBTQ activism, why doesn't anybody from the church point it out? Look, folks, it's absolutely okay for us to have standards, to have expectations. In fact, we must have standards. Because if we don't have standards, we have nothing at all. The absence of standards is anarchy. Anything goes. Follow your own truth. But in the absence of standards, society breaks down and social order crumbles. Make no mistake, I know and I believe that the first and the foremost mission of the church as a whole is the advancement of the kingdom of God, the body of the church. No matter the denomination, we should be focused first on the tending of the souls of the flock, the care and the concern for the needy and the downtrodden. It should be that way. But when culture makes demands that Christians should abandon all their standards, especially those that are enumerated in the tenets of our faith. When culture demands that Christians must change to fit the latest trends, well, there should be a firm and unrelenting and very public stance from the leadership of the church that says no, because there are standards. There are mores, there are positions of faith that actually mean something. And if we don't stand by those standards, then our faith itself can become tattered and worn down. Our faith can appear meaningless. The church must speak. It must speak with love and compassion into our culture. Faith leaders with wisdom and discernment must take that hard stand that will not always be popular to protect the sanctity of the faith that they've been called to minister to. It's called protecting the flock. It's called defending the faith. We need the church to speak out in times like these. The flock needs to know the shepherd carries a stick to keep the lions and the bears away from the flock. It's just part of being a shepherd. Y'all, we need the church to speak. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it. I'm a firm believer, y'all, that the job of a pastor is not just to pastor the flock, but to defend the flock. And you don't have to get out there and endorse a candidate. You don't have to get out there and jump all into politics. But there is nothing wrong with saying, hey, you know what? Yeah, we got some standards. We got some limitations on what we will say yes to, and we're saying no to that. It's important that the church leaders speak out. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.